What does Jesus really think about his followers? That's the question I will try to answer today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This radio broadcast comes to you each week over this station. Let us pray. Father, we pray now that you open the Word of God unto us for the strengthening and encouraging of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text today comes from John chapter 17, verse 6 and verse 10. Verse 6 reads, Jesus, speaking to his Father in prayer, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 10 reads, And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. This, my friend, is part of the highest, holiest prayer of the holiest man, no doubt, in all of history. So when we study Jesus' high priestly prayer, we're actually entering, so to speak, into the most holy place. Now, I told you recently that there are petitions in his high priestly prayer which we cannot pray because we are not the Son of God. But there are prayers in this high priestly prayer of Jesus that we can pray and that we ought to pray. But before we get into these, to any great extent, let us consider Jesus' attitude towards his disciples. Were it not for this prayer, we would never know how Jesus felt and how Jesus feels towards his disciples. Outside of this prayer, we would have a distorted picture of Jesus' attitude towards his followers. But now with this prayer, we know how Jesus felt deeply within about his intimate followers. And by us knowing that, we know how Jesus feels about us as we follow him step by step. So let us pick up these verses again. Jesus' expression or his opinion about his disciples as he said this to his Father, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. They have kept thy word. That's what Jesus says about his 11 disciples. If you look at the 11 disciples outside of the context of this high priestly prayer, you could easily come to the conclusion that their performance was not really all that good. Because we see them quarreling at times, we see them showing hardness of heart at other times, we see them manifesting unbelief frequently when they should have believed, and we see Jesus rebuking them and chiding them and correcting them. So if you would have asked one of these 11, how do you rate yourself in serving Jesus on a scale, say, of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, I believe that all of these 11 would have rated themselves as a 5, or perhaps as a 4, or a 3, or 2, or 1, or as a 0. Isn't that the way we feel about ourselves, about our service to Jesus so many times? When Jesus gives us a word of correction and a word of chastisement, isn't there many a time when we sense there's hardness in our heart and unbelief? Indeed, how many times did Jesus say to his disciples, you're doing a good job. I like the way you handled this or that. Keep carrying on the way you've been doing it. Is there ever a time when Jesus patted his disciples on the back and said, I'm proud of you? Well, the great truth that is so inherent in the character of God is that God does not coddle his children. He does not compliment them very much. There seems to be an unwritten divine heavenly policy that this life is for correction and the compliments come later. And I believe the reason why Jesus hardly ever complimented his disciples, why God hardly ever compliments his faithful ones, even in the days of the Old Testament, is because he knows the depths of fallen nature of man so well. He knows that if he were to say, you're doing a good job, I'm happy about your performance, that pride would rise up within us so very, very quickly. He knows that most all of us would then say, I finally know what I've always suspected, that I'm righteous, that I'm better than most of the others, and that I'm more spiritual than many. I know, and I have a good reason to tell everyone now, that I'm better than others because God told me so. And now everybody better listen to me, and everybody better respect me and follow me and look at me as the example of Christianity. But the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction. Pride is the first sin that was ever committed. It is the first sin of the devil, and therefore it is the most devilish of all sins. My friend, Jesus does not coddle us the way the world coddles her children. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So the way Jesus is coddling us is by correcting us, by chastising us, and by pruning us. This is the way God coddles his children. And so it says in Hebrews chapter 12, whom the Lord loveth, listen to this, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's the way God coddles his children, my dear friend, is by chastening them and by scourging them. The scourging process is a very, very painful process indeed. Yes, we can't handle compliments very well from anyone without becoming proud and haughty and spoiled and careless. And so much the less can we handle compliments from God himself. God loves us enough not to spoil us, not to ruin us, not to become high-minded, as so many of us have spoiled and ruined their children. So, dear ones, don't expect any roses from heaven for your efforts to please Jesus on this side of eternity. What you can continue to expect is Jesus' presence. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And what you can continue to expect is his comfort in the hour of trial, his faithfulness, and his prayers for you, for he's ever living to make intercession for you. But here in John 17, in Jesus' high priestly prayer, we have a window, perhaps the only window of significance, by which we can look into the heart of Jesus and see his feelings and find his feelings about us as he expresses them to his Father. He was very proud and happy about these 11 men because he said to his Father, they have kept thy word, and I am glorified in them. Well, hallelujah. Now, I do not know what John felt when he heard this private prayer. I do not know whether he was able to keep these words for himself very long, or whether he just immediately ran to the other disciples and said to them, oh, brethren, this has been the greatest day of my life. I've heard the Lord say that to his Father, that he's happy about us, that we have kept his word, and he's glorified in us. Well, my dear friend, the secret how Jesus really feels about his obedient followers is out. And methinks that it is a secret that was supposed to get out, or John would not have been directed by the Holy Spirit to put this in our Bibles. So, hallelujah, from Jesus' perspective, these disciples got a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. Why else would he say to God his Father, they have kept thy word, and I am glorified in them? Now, let's examine the disciples more closely from the vantage point, from the viewpoint of Jesus, and not from the viewpoint of our human perspective. From the viewpoint of Jesus, then, my friend, the disciples looked much better than they perceived themselves to be. Why is that so? Well, the answer is, as Jesus forsook all to do only the Father's will, so these 11 disciples forsook all to do only Jesus' will. We have 4 gospel writers. Each one wrote his gospel independent of the other. And we cannot find one single incident in all the 4 Gospels where Jesus ever told one of these 11 to do something, and they did not do it immediately and to the best of their ability. We do not find one incidence in the four Gospels when Jesus asked his disciple to do something that there was ever anyone who made an excuse or who had a delayed obedience or questioned Jesus' authority. Oh, the attitude was not always right, but the performance, the obedience was always first class. Yes, my friend, this is behind the words of Jesus. They have kept thy word. They have forsaken all, and they've obeyed me in everything all the time to the best of their ability. Can Jesus say that about you, my dear friend? Further, the reason why Jesus was happy about his disciples, as expressed to his Father, is that they had no other Lord in their lives but the Lord Jesus. So, let's put it together. What is discipleship? What is the kind of discipleship that makes Jesus happy about you and me? It is if we forsake all to follow Jesus. It is if we obey Jesus promptly in everything he asks us to do. It is if we stay with Jesus and allow him to be the only Lord of our lives, the absolute authority over our lives. That, my friend, is discipleship. And if we do those things, as the 11 did, then Jesus is glorified in us. Now, the word glory here comes from the word doxa. In the Greek, it means to praise, to honor, and to adore, and to give dignity. In short, to glorify means to ascribe the proper value to a thing or to a person. So when Jesus said, I'm glorified in them, he means that the same values that were found in him were now found in his disciples. I am glorified in them. It means that the forsaking of the world and the things of the world and the lust of the world, that forsaking was also now found in his disciples. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that they had forsaken the world because, he says in verse 16, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They are at the same level of having forsaken the things of the world as I am. That's what Jesus said here. And so that glorified Jesus in them. And it means that the same loyalty that Jesus had to his Father, the disciples had towards the Lord Jesus. Oh, how wonderful these words of our Lord to his Father sound to us now. They have kept thy word, and I am glorified in them. That means that these disciples were now beginning to be duplicates of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was already true before Pentecost. And what would it be like after Pentecost? So, dear one, aren't you glad that the secret is out through this high priestly prayer, how Jesus really feels about his company of the committed? Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now that you will work in each one of our hearts, that we will forsake all, and the very last thing that we're holding on to, we pray, we'll forsake it. We pray that you will become our only love and our absolute authority every moment of our life. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we will stop making excuses and be quick to say, yes, Lord, to whatever you bid us do. And we pray that we will surrender our wills to thee, that we will say, not my will, but thy will be done. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you may be glorified in us. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.